Yes, welcome back to Monday's show here on World Football Daily. I'm delighted to be joined by our second guest of the week, a man to talk all things English football with me here today, Mr. Nick Schepanek, joining us here on the show. Nick, how are you doing today, man?
Very well, thanks, mate. And you?
Not too bad. I'm probably doing a little better than Rio Ferdinand is right now. He's had to pull out of the England squad today with citing health reasons. How much do you buy this as a health reason? And how much of this is maybe the toys being thrown out the pram slightly by Rio?
Well, yeah, point to prove. I read his tweet, when he talked about, it would sort of conflict with his careful regime. And I think there's a lot of people making the point that, he owes his loyalty to, if we're talking about football managers, to Sir Alex Ferguson rather than Roy Hodgson. Let's be charitable to the guy and say, well, of course, there may have been this, but then you think, well, you'd expect that that people would know that if he's on some careful health regime that mustn't be interfered with, then why was he being called up in the first place? Yeah, there's obviously going to be a suspicion of toys out of the pram and, getting your own back, but... let's try and think well of these people, shall we? It's hard to think well of professional footballers sometimes, but... let's give them credit for some integrity, and if it turns out to be otherwise, then we'll have to see.
Do you think
and shed a sorrowful tear?
Do you think that Ferguson has maybe had a word with Rio and said, "I want you fit for the remaining FA Cup games, of course, the replay coming up against Chelsea, and I want you fit for the run in for the Premier League"? Even though that with City's loss, it seems like United have both hands on the trophy.
Yeah, now. Well, I think that. I think that people are underplaying the importance of the FA Cup here. I mean, you can say 15 points clear, but they've still got a double to go for. And I think Ferguson was a little bit taken aback by the way Chelsea came back in this team. And I think Ferguson would, I think the thing is, okay, getting the league back is one thing, but he's won plenty of league titles, but not so many doubles. And Manchester United haven't won the FA Cup for a very long time, and I think. Ferguson would quite like to lead his team out at Wembley for the final and win it and get a double.
What did you?
So I think I think you couldn't really underestimate the importance of that. The thing is, in the old days, that England would approach a club and talk to the manager and say, how's the player, everything would be done like that, and the club would know that a player was being selected in advance, and if there was any problems, they could make some representations to England at that point. So has there been a fail of communication, or have Manchester United been, as it were, leading England on a bit and only to sort of take the opportunity to throw it back in their faces? So, obviously, that would never be admitted, and they would just say, obviously it's great honour for the club to have it Rio selected. Oh, what a shame. Unfortunately, you can't make it. Things aren't always done as they used to be done.
Is this a faux pas on Hodgson's part as well, do you think? Not only for the initial snub of Rio in his England side, but also rumour is flying around that he didn't approach Ferdinand at all to discuss this training regime or anything like that before calling him up.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's what we're hearing, and I think it was a mistake in the first place, and I think then sort of to go back compounds it. I think people wouldn't have been surprised if he'd stuck to his guns and just not selected him, and maybe gone younger, because and had looked at some possible other players and brought players in with a view to the future. But then as he's being suggested that he didn't communicate with Rio and sort of sound him out or anything, and that's going even worse, isn't it? I mean, it seems to be compounding the errors. If you think it was an error to leave him out in the first place, well, opinions are divided on that, then, but at least you would think stick to your guns. If you don't think he's right for England, then suddenly he is, when we're desperate. That's an insult to the player, isn't it?
It is maybe a faux pas on Hodgson's part then. I mean, Ben Foster was saying a couple of weeks ago that Hodgson has changed this England side from what it was under Fabio Capello, that players really want to wear the shirt and be involved in this England setup again. This maybe slightly counteracts it. How damaging could this be to the atmosphere in the England cap, do you think, for Roy?
Well, not so much, simply because Rio hasn't been part of the camp for so long. And if Hodgson's been building up a sort of, Club England mentality and got people enthusiastic about it, then, is the fact that Rio was suddenly coming back in and then isn't coming back in, and he hasn't been part of the squad for a while, I don't think that's necessarily, I think a couple of the players, some senior players, may, you know, their eyebrows may raise, but I'm not entirely sure that, you know, that the younger players will worry too much about it, really. I think, you know, if the mood in the camp is good, you know, and in training the results keep coming and they're enjoying playing for England, I think, you know, this is something outside the England camp, and I don't think really they'll worry too much about it. I mean, players can have, you know, quite a lot of tunnel vision, and you know, they're concentrating on their own place, and you know, that's what they'll be concerned about, whether they're in the team, whether they're still in the manager's thinking, and how well they're playing and fitting in.
Let's talk about matters on the pitch now, Nick, from the weekend. And let's start with the Aston Villa against Queen's Park Rangers game, a thrilling game of football. How important, though, is it for Villa to not get carried away? Because they, although they have the points gap over Wigan, there is that game in hand that Wigan have over the Villains right now. And it'd be very easy for them to get sucked back in if Wigan can take maximum points from that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody in the Premier League and around the Premier League knows about the Wigan spring offensive. You know, it's almost as famous as Manchester United's sort of spring run. You know, they've done it every season, and people are almost counting on it to happen again. I'm sure Villa will be on their guard, and you know, they'll know. Well, look at QPR, two wins, and they were flying. Then the defeat at Villa has put them, you know, completely down in the doldrums again. You know, to hear people talk, Harry Redknapp might disagree. So Villa will know that, you know, just a couple of wins back to back don't necessarily mean anything. You know, that you know, if they lose their next game, which is, I think, I'm home to Liverpool in 2 weeks' time. You know, if Liverpool, you know, look at that, there's a chance to put the record straight after a totally dreadful display at Southampton, and Liverpool come out all guns blazing and steamroll Villa at Villa Park. Then suddenly, you know, their morale drops again, and if Wigan get a win in their next game, you know, then it all turns again. And I'm sure Paul Lambert will be, you know, will be guarding against any suggestion of sort of complacency or a feeling that, you know, they've turned the corner, because he'll know about Wigan, and he'll know that, you know, he's got a very young defence and a lot of young players there, you know, whose confidence can be shaken. So I'm sure he'll be doing everything to make sure that there are no slip-ups.
You mentioned that game for Southampton and the dire performance by Liverpool. And how important is that result, firstly, for Southampton in terms of just maintaining that gap from the relegation battle, but also for Everton and for Arsenal and for the sides looking for European spots to keep Liverpool at bay at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I was there on Saturday and I was shocked. I was expecting, you know, I was thinking, oh gosh, you know, I don't see anybody in the Southampton back four who can possibly hold Suarez. And yet somehow Liverpool couldn't get the ball to Suarez in a position where he could do any danger. Their defence was a shambles. They seemed completely surprised by the way Southampton pushed up on them and pressed them high up the pitch, even though they've been doing that in every game since Mauricio Pochettino arrived there. And Brendan Rodgers, you know, was kind of subdued afterwards. You know, he was saying, you know, this is a step back and we've got to think about this. And he didn't seem to see where it had come from. You know, that Liverpool are a work in progress. You know, OK, they'd won the previous four games, but I think the same thing happened under Kenny Dalglish when he'd taken over there. You know, they put a run together, and then I think it was Wigan, in fact, went up to Anfield and nicked a point. And, you know, you just had to remember that, you know, teams can't be transformed or, you know, rebuilt overnight. And, you know, occasionally a reminder that there are still problems to be solved can be a good thing. But, of course, as you say, in the wider context of the Premier League, it does give people like Everton, you know, a reminder that, hey, you know, look, OK, Liverpool looked like they were in sixth place and closing on Arsenal. Well, you know, don't take that for granted. You know, that fifth place is still there for Everton to attack. Arsenal may be, you know, thinking, OK, well, we haven't got to worry about Liverpool coming up on our shoulders. We can concentrate on attacking the top four. No, it has a profound effect. I mean, I think a lot of people thinking, oh, you know, this is it, that finally Brendan's got it right. Well, I think on the evidence of Saturday, he hadn't. And I think the interesting thing was that he was talking about how they missed Jamie Carragher. Well, guess what? You know, Jamie Carragher isn't going to be around indefinitely. So they've got to sort something out and maybe replace his experience, his calming influence at the back.
Has Brendan Rodgers almost got a bit of a get-out-of-jail-free card? Because there's not been too much criticism around him at the moment this season, even with the performance like he had against Southampton this weekend. There's still not much of him in the papers being criticised for what he's doing with this Liverpool team.
Well, I think people understand what he did at Swansea, and I think they liked the way Swansea played, and I think they thought that idea of keeping possession and you know, passing and moving, that's not a million miles away from, you know, the theory and the the ideas behind the Bob Paisley Liverpool team. You know, it was pass and move and keep the ball, and maintain possession, you know, and look for the probe for the openings. The irony was on Saturday was Southampton playing like that, and Liverpool, you know, seemed to be reeling in front of it. But I think people understand what Rodgers is trying to do, and I think even the Liverpool fans, you know, perhaps looked at themselves and thought they'd hounded Hodgson out. They demanded Kenny Dalglish being reinstated. They got what they wished for, and it didn't turn out so well. So I think they were probably thinking, you know, maybe we should give this guy a chance. You know, I think they've liked at times what he's tried to do, and I think recently they've seen, and as Brendan Rodgers said, you know, they have been making progress. Okay, this was one step back after maybe two or three steps forward. You know, the key is what happens to them next. You know, do they take this on board, or is this, you know, a blow to confidence that's going to take him a while to recover from? And unfortunate for him, can't get straight back on the horse because he's got the international break. Everyone goes away again. And where he might have wanted to work on team shape, you know, and put things right immediately, I think he's got seven players there, you know, in the next week until everyone comes back, and you've got Suarez going off to South America. It's going to be difficult. And that game against Aston Villa, you know, is a very interesting one because, you know, he's going to try and put his house in order against a team that has, you know, very much its own reasons for wanting to win. Yeah, on the subject of Southampton, I think they're a sort of strangely schizophrenic team, you know, that they can beat Manchester City and Liverpool, and they can lose to Queen's Park Rangers and Newcastle. And I think, you know, that hints at potential there, but also, you know, there's always something slightly wrong with the makeup of a team that can turn it on and raise their game, you know, against a big team, but can't really do it, you know, against a team of scrappers. So I think Pochettino knows that he's got to sort that out. He's got to get the psychology of the team improved. I was a little bit concerned that, you know, this business of pressing high up the pitch was going to expose their back four a bit, because if the midfield players were pressing up, I think, you know, and that did happen on Saturday. I think a couple of balls over the top, you know, just missed out the back four, and Coutinho was through on goal, hit his shot straight at Boritz, you know, before they equalised. And I think, you know, that I think what's happening between the back four and then the midfield, there's something different between the team now and what it was under Nigel Adkins. I think they perhaps weren't as threatening going forward under Adkins, so I think they looked a bit more defensively solid, and I think Pochettino has to sort of solve that little conundrum there.
Problems as well this weekend for Tottenham Hotspur, Nick, and you mentioned a side that might, you spoke about Liverpool, you know, not being given the opportunity to bounce back quickly. Tottenham will want to bounce back quickly from this Fulham defeat that they had yesterday. Does this show that they're not just a one-man team, that just having Bale in there isn't enough for this side, and actually the width that and pressure that Aaron Lennon takes off Bale on the flanks when he plays is actually a big key to this side as well?
Oh yeah, I mean, Lennon and Bale, you know, as a pair of wide attackers, you know, they're as good as anything in the Premier League, you know, and I think also, you know, Defoe down the middle, you know, who's got much more energy and determination than Adebayor. If you looked at the sort of starting team, we had Asa Okoto as a sort of wide midfield player. It was a slightly strange lineup. And let's be honest, I think there was a bit of a hangover from Europa League. I think an interesting thing is that Villas Boas, I can't remember who wrote it, but I read an interesting piece that says Villas Boas, of course, he's got a sort of European perspective on things like the Europa League, and he takes it far more seriously than one or two other managers. And so, you know, he plays a very competitive side in Europa League games, and I think, you know, possibly some of that came home to roost. People I know who were at the game yesterday said that Spurs looked exhausted. You know, obviously not a, you know, Fulham didn't have that problem in midweek, and I think it counted against them. And I'm not sure Tottenham had, you know, have the sort of the resources or the sort of rotation factor to, you know, that some of that Chelsea perhaps have, and that they could. You know, they could sort of absorb the difficulties of Europa League games perhaps a little bit more competently than Tottenham. And of course, I suppose people are going to say, oh, you know, same old Tottenham, they're going to fade away again. And I suppose that'll be in the back of the minds of some players. I think they just look knackered, frankly.
How important would, say, somebody like Andros Townsend, currently on loan at Queen's Park Rangers, be as a filler, as a squad player that maybe they shouldn't have got rid of in the January transfer window and kept hold of for this sort of period in the late season?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's if you want to be competitive, you know, on two fronts, you've got to have a huge squad. Look at Manchester United have a large squad. They can rotate. I mean, people talked about squad rotation, you know, in terms of, you know, for example, Benitez and Wenger. But, you know, Ferguson's always done it. He's always picked, you know, picked different teams, especially he's rotated forwards, wingers, you know, the back four much less so. But, you know, he's always done that because he's got, you know, a big squad. And I think that, you know, you wonder if Jermaine Janus would have got into the Spurs team, you know. But I think Townsend is a talent. I think that they could have used. You know, it's always, you know, easy to be wise after the event. And I wonder if Phil Spurs is thinking, you know, well, you know, why did we let him go? But yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, whenever I've seen Townsend, I thought, you know, he's a player with you know, a potential, and especially if you were going in on two fronts and you were going to make a determined play at the. The Europa League. I don't think it made an awful lot of sense to weaken your squad in that way, but this decision was made, and you've got to live with it.
You do have to live with it. There's just one last thing, Nick, before we go. Of course, the papers today filled in England with pictures of that challenge by Callum McManaman in the Wigan-Newcastle game. Straight red, obviously. Is there any justification for Mark Halsey missing that?
Well, if you look at the TV pictures, you know, his view, as far as we can tell, was obscured. There was a player standing right in the way of it, but the referee's assistant was looking straight at it, and he was looking at it from behind. He was almost looking at the line of McManaman coming at him. So, and he could see the reaction of the player who was hit. You know, you could see him being driven backwards. You know, and he could see the ball go away. So even if he didn't have a clear view of the impact, he must have seen that there had been a foul. He must have seen that the player had followed through, you know, just by the you know, the body movement. The lines were looking straight at it. And I think, I'm afraid sometimes assistants, you know, are not willing to sort of back their own judgment and, you know, raise the flag and call the referee's attention, because he absolutely must have seen it. I think you can't blame Mark Halsey for it, but you certainly can blame the assistant. I think the assistant must have seen it. I think the suggestion on TV replays I've seen was that his head was turned. He should looks as if he was looking at it. I mean, you can't tell. Maybe his eyes were in a different direction. But the referee possibly could be excused. The assistant, not so much. And then, of course, you know, I think Adam Pardew was right to be livid at the fact that Figueroa punched the ball on, you know, for Wigan's winner, just to add insult to injury. You know, so if Wigan stay up because of, you know, by 2 points, I think a lot of the other teams will be looking not so much at that challenge, but another refereeing failure, which is a failure to spot the spot that handball, because Figueroa went up, you know, with his hand up in the air and the ball was knocked on. It couldn't possibly have been his head that knocked it on, but there you go.
Did you think McManaman actually? Do you think there wasn't like a malicious intent in that challenge? It was just reckless. I mean it's easy to vilify.
Made the point that it was his full debut. He's full of enthusiasm, you know. And okay, you know, the ball was bouncing up between them, and you know, okay, maybe he went in and the ball was whipped away, and his follow through innocently took him into the you know, into the guy's knee. But you know, that, you know, if I, you know, innocently, you know, drive my car too fast and it smacks into somebody else, I'm afraid I've still hit their car and I'm still liable for, you know, for to be taken to court and fined and banned from driving. And you know, they now talk about dangerous and reckless challenges, and you know, it was reckless. It was high off the ground. There's always a chance that the ball was going to go away, and he left himself nowhere to go. There was no way he could pull out of that challenge. That makes it a reckless challenge, and you know, so. For Martinez to defend him and say, oh, you know, he hasn't got a bad bone in his body. Well, he's got a careless and reckless bone in his body, and the pilot made contact with an opponent and hurt him.
Yeah, and he's obviously dented a few bones in Haidara's body, that's for sure. Nick, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show today, looking back at some of the action from this weekend, and of course having a look at Rio Ferdinand as well, mate. We always enjoy getting you on the show. You following the NFL free agency whilst covering the Premier League?
Yeah, partly, but also I'm also gearing up for the start of the Major League Baseball season, and I think I've got about 3 or 4 fantasy league drafts to think about as well. So yeah, it's a busy and the NBA, I understand, is boiling up nicely as well. So plenty happening on both sides of the pond.
There's not enough hours in the day for all the sport, mate, that's for sure. It's a pleasure to have you on, man, and enjoy the rest of your evening today.
Will do, mate. Yeah, good to talk to you.
Thanks so much there. Nick Schipanic joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Premier League football and, of course, talking about Rio Ferdinand, his snub of the England side today, rightly or wrongly. Do you think it's toys out the pram? Do you think it's Fergie's orders? Is it a faux pas on Hodgson's part for not giving him a cheeky phone call beforehand? Let us know. Show at worldfootballdaily.com, at WFootballDaily on Twitter, 310 909 8483 is the phone line. We'll be right back after this very quick break here on the show with Rafa and I breaking down the final few bits of news and views from around the world of football. We'll be back in just a moment.